Hi, good morning, everyone.
I like that song. I love God more than anything. Oh, boy, I tell you, I got to just correct a couple of things, just on my behalf, but and in response to the Lord. But I really felt the Lord just saying and speaking to me lately. He said, I would like to be back in your church. And it's not that he hasn't been, but we want him back, and he wants to be back the way he wants us back. And he wants to be a part of our lives. And so that means to allow the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. That means to open up our hearts to whatever the Holy Spirit have us do. And sometimes we don't understand what the Holy Spirit wants to do based upon our common human knowledge, but based upon the wisdom of God that flows from heaven itself, then we can begin to experience God's total deliverance and freedom in every area of our life. And we want the manifestations of the Holy Spirit in our church. Amen? We don't want just a partial show of Him. And over the years, I think for whatever reason, because you're afraid you're going to offend somebody or whatever the case may be, and a lot of it evolves around the ministry and the gift of the Holy Spirit that we call speaking in other tongues. And the reason that I'm sharing this, I believe, is because the Lord wants me to share with you that we're coming into a season in the world where we need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in our life. And we need the fullness of His Spirit in our life. So we need to be able to hear from Him, and we need to be able to respond to Him. And so I'm going to read a passage of Scripture, and this is one that most people, when you talk about the Holy Spirit, they rarely go over this because they really don't know what to say about it. It's pretty clear, but sometimes it takes the wisdom of unspiritual men to make up some kind of reason why this doesn't exist anymore. But I'm going to read from you from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit, everybody say of the Spirit, is to each one for the profit of all. How many people does God want to profit? Okay. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing each one individually as He wills. And so, in just a real quick come to light type truth, when we are born again, we're not necessarily filled with the Spirit. We are born of the Spirit, but we're not necessarily filled with the Spirit. And a scripture that maybe will attest to that is Acts chapter 19. You can read in verse 6. But Philip was asking some people were asked by a saint of God, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said, we've not even heard there be a Holy Spirit. And so in the church world today, we've kind of really just kind of shut things out because we don't want to be responsible to that, because we don't want to make it look like we're a little bit, you know, out there on the edge. But I don't know if anybody noticed, but our church is out on the edge of town. And I think probably for a reason. But I do believe that God wants us open to His Holy Spirit. And it's not something, and every time the Holy Spirit moves, I promise you, He will draw you closer to Jesus. Because that's what the Holy Spirit's focus is, that He might show Jesus. And Jesus said when He left the earth, He said, it's for your benefit that I go, because I am going to send you the Comforter. And so many times we don't live with the Comforter. We say, Lord, we've got it from here. And so, and just a demonstration of, and I believe the Lord wants to come back in just a good way. But it's just like this. Halabakosi kibroko baba kasiki. Tande lebakosi kide de labakasi kibo baba kasiki. Dombrokosi kibe. For it is my word, says the Lord, that will endeavor the move of my spirit in your midst. It's my word that will bring you to a life where you didn't know could ever be met in just your life. But God has brought you here for a reason, so that you might begin to perceive, that you might begin to attain the very ministry of the Holy Spirit that will help you not only in your personal life, but so many others are waiting for the touch of my spirit, saith the Lord. And I believe that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. And so when I've gotten up here in times past and felt a little nudge to move out into the Spirit, and because I am a carnal person just like you, I don't want to offend anybody, I don't want to make anybody feel bad, but I've been doing this long enough that, and I say this in just a good way, if you get mad at me because I obey the Holy Spirit, then you and the Holy Spirit need to have a talk. And, you know, I grew up in a church where there was nothing said about the Holy Spirit except that we prayed in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But we didn't know about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we want that. And so even like today, I felt impressed to give a couple of tongues and interpretation. The Bible says the proper thing about the gift of tongues is that it should always be accompanied with the interpretation of those tongues, so that all may be edified, so that all may be helped. Amen. And so today I had one for Andy Miller, and it goes like this: Andy, Ola bakasi kibroko baba, karabasi kidi de la bakoba. Not for one moment should you be concerned. Not for one moment should you be concerned about the things and the events that have happened. But your responsibility is to just trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Because I am the God who turns things around. I am the God that will make things wrong right. And you just trust in me and lower your pride. Put it underfoot and say, God, I need you to help me through, and I'll be your ever-present helper, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, and Kristen, alabokosi kibroko babaka tidabokasi. Karabande labokosi kibamande. Karabande labokosi kiredaba. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. When it seems like around you things are sinking, know that I am the Lord that will keep you up above the water. I'll keep you walking on the water. And you have shown by your faithfulness that I am your God. And I will lead you and guide you in ways that you didn't know what was possible. But I will be the Lord God to you. And that's why I'm raising up your husband. That's why I'm raising up your son. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing, because the enemy has a different plan. But my plan will prevail, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I flat out hate sickness. I flat out hate disease. One other thing. Boy, you sound like a babbling idiot. Well, thank God. I'll say this, and I think it's so there can be some correction in this church. The Lord wants you to be reminded that the pastor of this church present is standing before you. And I have not relinquished the total authority of that gift, of that office, yet. And because of that, for some reason, the enemy has felt like he could begin to slither back in and begin to sow some discord and begin to sow some seeds that are not of me, saith the Lord. But don't be you moved by what's happening. You be moved by what I'm doing in the midst of this body. I'm bringing you to a new level. We're not going back to days of old. We're going back and we're staying right where we are right now, because I am the ever-present help. That's why I call myself, says the Lord, I am that I am. We don't live by, you know, it used to be like that. Listen, we're not going back that way. Wherever we come from. Well, if we ever get back that way again, boy, it's not like it used to be. Well, that's because it's not like it used to be. But there will be more manifestations. And the reason I know there's more manifestations is it's hard for me. Tim is like a racehorse that you put a harness on and you got him tied to the starting gate. And he just keeps yanking that thing. And he's ready, but he's going to be ready, more ready in God's timing. So right now, just for the enemy's benefit, Pastor Wes is still Pastor Wes of this body. Glory to God, I just love me. Getting toward that transition time. And the official transition Sunday is going to be the third Sunday in November. And that is official unless the Lord changes it. I'm flexible in the Lord. Amen. But we want... Don't come into church with preconceived ideas. Don't come into church and say, well, there's new leadership so I can begin to do what I need to know. You begin to do what God wants you to do. Amen. Amen. And I want to just say from my heart, and if you just begin to seek after the Holy Spirit in your life and don't go by what you've heard, because, you know, sometimes we walk by stuff that we've heard and it can be wrong. It can be wrong. And if it's got leaven in it, then you're going to be robbed, really, of God's fullness in your life. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you can't say anything else, you can say amen. Getting closer to the end of my tenure here, Brandon. I said, what are you going to do, fire me? You know, so. By the way, just showing up, that was a mini sermon that you gave up here. We live in a day when people just don't want to show up. Well, bless God, show up and see what God will do. But don't just show up expecting God to move. Amen? See, what God needs sometimes is a blabbermouth like me. My sister Vivian from Austin, she's going to call me again. God bless. Vivian, do not critique this message. She called me last week. She said, quit calling yourself names. I just call myself a blabber. I'm a blabbermouth for God. And if that means I'm going to speak out in another tongue, I'm going to speak out in another tongue, because I'm not ashamed of the move of the Holy Spirit. I'm not ashamed of it. And I am sorry for those times that I've hindered the Holy Spirit from moving. I'm not going to do that anymore. Amen. Hallelujah. You guys ought to be thankful for that. I know Tim won't. And speaking of Tim, he's sitting up for the first time in a long time. And he's had a full frontal attack by the enemy. Ethan's been challenged with... I've been walking through my house. Kristen told me the other day she'd been walking through her house yelling at the devil. I've been walking through mine yelling at the devil. He's a freaking liar. Amen. No sickness and disease come nigh our dwelling. Passover lamb still exists on the inside of you. The Bible calls Jesus our Passover lamb. And when sickness and disease, the diseases of Egypt, the Bible says, and the spirit of death, when it comes, it has to pass over us because we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you say amen to that, say amen. Well, you've got more authority and you got more power than you think. I think we are in this body, and I may not be here to see it from this point of view, but I can watch it from afar. But I believe we are soon to realize our best days. We've not seen them yet, and we're not going to back off until we bless God to see them. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, you know I love you. I love you a lot. But Tim is doing better. He had not only fighting COVID and at times real extreme low oxygen levels and just stuff that kind of just keep your prayer sharpened. And then he had to deal with blood clot in his leg and I had him sitting up today, which is a good sign. It means the treatment of the blood clot is going well, and it will go well, not cause any other damage, any other part of the body in the name of Jesus Christ, and he'll be back soon. Amen. Amen. I'm just telling the Lord I'd like to preach a little more consistently, and boy, have I got to do that lately. But that's okay. I like the opportunity to preach. And last week, those of you that were here, I had you just remind Debbie to come see us, Debbie. Well, she's going to be here the weekend, Labor Day weekend. And I'm thinking I might have her minister. And she is a delight in my life. And I know that most of you are used to seeing me hang around with Sandy for a long, 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 long time. Sandy told me, and you'll like this, because Sandy's, a lot of times she's pretty quiet, but when she says something, it really makes an effect. But we were talking one time about the possibility. She said, you know what, if I do go to heaven early, she said, are you going to get remarried? And I said, well, honey, I'm not sitting around thinking about that. She said, well, I just wanted to tell you, if you do get married after I leave, I'm going to come back and you are going to become a eunuch. If you need an explanation of that, I'll let you know later. But that was pretty mean. But we laughed a bunch. And I really do believe that, and it's hard at times for everybody to understand, but I really do believe that where I am right now is God. And it's hard for me. If you had asked me a year ago where I'd be a year from, I would have not said married and moved to Topeka and transitioning out of this church. But you know, it was going to happen sometime here. And just like that, just kind of prompted it a little bit. But I thank God for it. And my children have been, they've been great. We have 11 adult children between us. She has 6, I have 5. All our children have been wonderful. The only thing I think both sets of children, the Varney children, the Oakley children, they were just hoping that we'd move their direction. And I ended up moving. That's the only thing that really, it's been hard on me. Because I love getting together with my kids and just spontaneously, and we can be pretty spontaneous. And I love getting around. We laugh a lot. And my son Seth is funny. He has a wit that's beyond mine. I'm pretty sharp, but he's got some really incredible wit. So do his children. And I miss that, being around the nunneries. And being around TJ and his deep, deep, deep dialogue. How are you doing, TJ? Good. How's life going? Okay. Are you going to heaven? Hope so. Deep, deep, deep. Just like his dad, Tim, was when I first met Tim. My conversations with Tim years ago was hi and bye. And he could be there for 2 hours and it would be hi and bye. But I love my family. And Debbie loves my family. She prays for them all the time. And that gal's a prayer warrior. Yeah. Around our house, we don't speak much except in tongues. How you doing, Debbie? But the good news is, God has not changed. He is forever the same. And things are forever settled in heaven. Hallelujah. Are you glad for that? Well, before I get into the message, you all okay with what just happened? Thank you. No devil's going to come slithering back in here. Amen. Caught in the act. Two guys stole a calendar. They each got 6 months. Concerned that he might have lost a few pounds, my husband exited the bathroom and asked, do you think my chin is getting fat? I smiled lovingly and replied, which one? That's bad. A lawyer is driving a car down the street, and instead of stopping at the stop sign, the lawyer slows down. A police sees this and pulls the car over and asks the man why he didn't stop at the stop sign. It's the same thing the lawyer stated. I don't believe there is a difference between stop and slow down. Allow me to prove it to you, the policeman said. He asked the lawyer to step out of his car and suddenly starts hitting him with his baton. After a lot of pain that the lawyer endured, the policeman asked him, now, do you want me to stop or slow down? I hope I can pronounce this right. My memory is getting bad. I asked the pharmacist, do you have any acetylsalicylic acid? You mean aspirin? Asked the pharmacist. That's it. I can never remember that word. A woman shoots her husband for stepping on the clean floor. A police officer jumps into his squad car and calls the station. I have an interesting case here, he says. A woman shot her husband for stepping on the floor she just mopped. Have you arrested her? Asked the sergeant. No, not yet. Floor's still wet. To the guy who stole my antidepressants, I hope you're happy. That's pretty bad. Hallelujah. Well, God loves us. And He wants us to see, He wants to see us get by in life His way, not our way. And He has a way. Amen. Acts chapter 2. All in, we're talking about, I don't know if it's the third one or the fourth one, I don't really care. It's just that we're going to pick up on this all in subject again, because I think it's so important. Many Christians are not living all in, they're just partially in. We want to get everybody all in, praise God. I remember years ago, and Father, thank you for helping me today just to share this message. Thank you, Lord, that you'll rise up big in me, that you'll think through my mind and speak through my lips as I call upon the Holy Spirit that indwells me. And I thank you and I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I remember years ago when I was in Ulysses, Kansas, I was baptizing a man who was a full-blooded Indian, and his nickname was Dink. And I was getting ready to dunk Dink. And he was probably 70s, you know, he probably was in the 70s, that's pretty young now to me. But we had a baptism take place at some people in the church there in Ulysses had a swimming pool, so we'd have baptism there, you know, when the weather accommodated us. And we took Dink over there we're going to baptize him. And so when I baptized Dink, he grew up in the Baptist church, but I'm not totally sure on that, but he grew up in an evangelical church, but he felt like the Lord had just renewed him so much, he would like to just honor the Lord again with dedicating his life publicly through the waters of baptism and to the obedience of being baptized in water. But I remember Dink, I had him in the water, and he's short, stocky man, and he was pretty buoyant. It was hard to get him under. I put him down, and I mean, his body is just like it wanted to rise up like a bobber on a fish line. So I'm dunking him, trying to get him under there. And I remember I got him all the water to about right here on his forehead. So when he came up out of the water, he said, "You get me all the way under?" In other words, was I all in? And I'm thinking, well, close. But I think as the waters of baptism have overtaken us in times past, for those of us who have been obedient to be water baptized, when we got water baptized, I believe the real way to be water baptized is to be all in. You put everything under and leave it there and come up new in Him. That's symbolic of that. And so from that point on in our lives, we become people who begin to live, I believe, as best as we can with God's help. We live all in. There's no better way to live but all in for God. And we think that we can just do partial living. Well, God, I'm going to give you this. We're going to compartmentalize this. I'm going to keep a hold of this. But I don't want the commitment and the consecration and the dedication that you're asking, but I'll go to church. How about that? But even today, just getting people to go to church 2 weeks in a row, 3 weeks in a row, 4 weeks in a row. You say, Pastor, going to church is not all that important. Well, it's important to those who think it's important. And it's important to those who think that they can draw from the gift the ministry gift that God has put before you, whether it's me or whoever is standing in this position. It's important that you share of that ministry gift that God has given you. As a matter of fact, Jesus gave us those ministry gifts in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. He gave us the fivefold ministry. We make up reasons why we don't want to set under that type of thing. We get mad. We get upset. We have things to do. We're just too busy. And so you got to make room for God. Amen. And that's just the way it is. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Backing up a little bit. So let everyone in Israel know for certain. And it's just talking, when it says Israel, we're talking about the people of God. So let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus. And I love the Apostle Paul. Some think Luke wrote Acts. I think Apostle Paul did, but that's, you know, you can debate that from now until Jesus comes back, and then he'll tell us that we're probably all wrong. But he said, God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, speaking to the Israel of people, and they're thinking, what do we have to do that? But he must have spoken to them the truth because they responded in an incredible way. The Bible says Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins. Turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ to show that you have received forgiveness for your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this promise is to you and to your children and even to the Gentiles, all who have been called by the Lord our God. Then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all the listeners, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Those who believe what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. All the believers devoted, consecrated, dedicated, received, retained, and acted upon the apostles' teaching. And they dedicated themselves to that and to fellowship and to sharing meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. Another commentary reminds us that those people that received that day, those believers, none of them were apostatized. They didn't go back to their former beliefs. They didn't go back to their wrong beliefs. That's sometimes I can teach people, and I can show them from the Word of God that you should be filled with the Holy Spirit. I can show them from the Word of God that you need to be born again. And they'll say, they'll look at you and say, that's not for me. I'm going, holy mackerel. How would you like to stand before God someday and be reminded of that moment where you said, Jesus is not for me? Boy, he's for me. He's absolutely for me. I'm in love with Jesus. I'm telling you, I am in love with Jesus. Because of what he's done for me. And continues to do for me, and uses the precious Holy Spirit to just instill that again and again in my life. And so what I want to share with you and try to get across with you today as best I can is that if we're going to be all in, it's got to be in the small areas first. We all want to be so mightily used of God. Years ago, and let's just go back for example, but years ago I was accused of not tithing in this church. And the thing that was really kind of amazing about it, I was accused by people that didn't tithe. Wasn't that Brandon? I like Brandon. I showed him our financial statement years back when all that stuff was happening. And Brandon, he's the only one of a few that had the integrity to call me and talk to me. And so we went out and I let him see our long financial statements, almost 3 pages long, which is short for him probably and what he's doing. He looked at it for a few minutes and he looked up at me and said, well, Pastor, those people are idiots. I said, yeah, that's pretty much it. But when people are deceived of the devil, they don't think being an idiot's all that big a deal. They think they're hearing from God. That's why the devil's a deceiver. Amen. All I'm telling you is that sometimes it's the little things in life. The little things that we let go that sometimes hinder us from moving on in our walk with God and going from one level to the next, if you will. Sometimes people have a hard time forgiving. They'll make up excuse after excuse after excuse. Why, I cannot forgive that. And I'm telling you, it's best for you that you forgive anything. Anyone that has ought against you or you have ought against anyway, get it cleaned up. That doesn't mean you have to become their best friend. That just means you have to get right with God and not hinder your prayers. And so some people would rather hold on to bitterness or unforgiveness. And I'm not telling you have to go love that person. You don't have to put your arm around them. You don't have to do anything. Just forgive them and then just go about your way. The Bible says, as much as lies within you, pursue peace with all men. That includes every situation. Be a forgiver. Amen. Jesus forgave a lot of people. Didn't hang around with all of them. Amen. Hallelujah. Or you could do what one of my twin daughters said. Years ago when she was about 3 years old singing Hallelujah, I was listening to her and I heard her sing Hallelujah. I said, honey, we're going to need to correct that. It's Hallelujah. You can forgive it when it comes out of a three-year-old's mouth, don't you think? But it's the little things that sneak in and begin to destroy your walk with God. And it can happen very, very deceitfully. It can happen slowly, like a frog being boiled in water. And we've all heard that story. If you take water, it's not even been heated up yet, put it on a stove and put a little frog in it, that frog will literally stay in that thing and allow himself to be boiled to death. Because it acclimates to the temperature of the water and then finally gets hot enough, cooks him and fries him. Sometimes Christians are kind of like that. Galatians 5, verse 9 through 10. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion will pay the penalty, whoever he may be. Paul's simply warning the church at Galatia, listen, don't go back into your old ways of believing. Don't go back into believing that you have to be circumcised to believe God. You are now a people under grace, as the book of Galatians tells us in Galatians 1:6. You are now a people under grace in Jesus Christ. And you're not going to go back to the law, because if you think you have to fulfill just one small aspect of the law, then you will be required to fulfill the entire law. And nobody can do that. That's why we needed a Savior. That's why the Bible said Jesus himself came to fulfill the law. He fulfilled it because he was the only one that can do it. And so we get our fulfillment of the law by coming into Christ. And in him we are complete. And the laws in itself is not bad. Our capacity to fulfill it is where we had the problem. You couldn't do that. I don't know how many decrees and laws, 600 and some, that the Jewish rabbis come up with, and all the Jewish people that came in and were serving God, they're serving him under the law. I mean, that's all they could think about was that law. It just so engrossed their thinking that they couldn't think of anything else, and they became so worried that they weren't going to please God, and there's no way you can please God. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. And it's by faith that we have access into the grace wherein we do stand. We don't come into the kingdom of God by works. We come into it by grace. Can you say amen? So here in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to read several verses. Verse 1, it is actually reported to you that there is sexual immorality among you. That's talking about believers at Corinth. And of a kind that does not occur even among pagans. A man has his father's wife, and you are proud. Shouldn't you rather have been filled with grief and put the man out of fellowship, the man who did this? Even though I'm not physically present, I am with you in spirit, and I have already passed judgment on the one who did this, just as if I were present. When you are assembled in the name of our Lord Jesus, I am with you in spirit, and the power of the Lord Jesus is present. Hand this man over to Satan so that the sinful nature may be destroyed, and his spirit saved on the day of the Lord. Your boasting is not good. Don't you know that a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough? Get rid of the old yeast that you may be a new batch without yeast, as you really are. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. everybody look up here. Character still matters in the church. People ask me all the time about, should I do this, should I do that? And usually those questions are basically, do I have permission to sin? I'm not answering that for you. He that knows to do right and does it not, the Bible says, to him it is sin. If you know not to do something, you don't do it. And if you go ahead and do it, then to you it is counted sin. What does sin do? It separates you from fellowship with God. Doesn't separate you at believers. I'm talking about believers, people who have been born again, blood washed. It's not talking about people who have never been blood washed. It's talking about you as a believer. If you have a decision and you make a decision to sin and you do that sin, then it just breaks your fellowship. It doesn't break your relationship. It's just like when your children disobey you in the natural. It doesn't negate the fact that I'm still their dad and they're still my child. It just says, right now we have a failure to communicate. And my kids will tell you most of the time, and I don't know that I was always right in this because I wasn't, I'm sure. But in my mind as the dad, I win. I'm just winning right here. And I literally had, I had one of my kids look at me and say, I don't like you. I said, well, I don't like you either, but I do love you. I don't like you right now, and I don't care if you don't like me, because I'm not in this to win a popularity contest. I'm not in pastoring to win a popularity. I gave that up a long time ago. Hallelujah. Amen. But character still matters in the church. Keeping your word still matters in the church. Living for God in the small things, out in the community, not just when you come into this place, but in the community, in your homes, when nobody's watching. Who you are when nobody's watching is where your character has gone. This is when you start singing, Jesus in the family, happy, happy home, happy, happy home, happy, happy home. Jesus in the family, happy, happy home, happy, happy home. Or Jesus in the church of God, happy, happy church. That's true. Pretty simple, but it's true. Character does matter. And I'm telling you, I have not lived this perfectly. But the more I choose to do right before God, the better my life is. Pure and simple. And only, you know, I can't tell you what to do or not to do. That would drive me nuts. I have a hard time keeping me in line. But if you come to me and say, should I be doing this? I would look at you, no. That's just like people, I literally had people, they didn't say these words, but is it okay if we fornicate? Well, that's, and they didn't use that terminology, but that's what they were asking me. I said, well, no. They say, why? I said, well, number one, you're not married. Number two, you're 16 years old. And number three, I don't care if your mom thinks it's all right or not. Who did think it was all right? Sometimes sitting across the desk from people, I'm going, hi, hi, hi. Walk into this. Character still matters. We are not to give ourselves to the culture of this world. We are to take the Jesus in us and go out into the world and live our culture to affect their culture. Not critically, not judgmentally. I'm not sure how to do that perfectly, but I think always giving honor to God in every little area of your life is the best way to do that. The little things. The little opportunities you have to maybe just a twist the truth just a little bit. No, if you're going to say it totally right. Amen. I'm pretty sure God told me to preach this. God wants us to influence the world, brothers and sisters, and the world, for the most part, has influenced the church way beyond the capacity I thought it, and the empowerment I thought they had to do. And COVID is proof of that. Now we're arguing about, should we wear a mask or should we not wear a mask? Should we wear two masks or not? Should we wear three masks or not? Should we cut your head off? Well, have you had the vaccine? Well, I wouldn't hang around people that don't. Well, I don't hang around people that act like you. I know people have the vaccine that died of COVID. Know of people, don't know them personally, but for a fact. Listen, whatever you do in word or deed, do it as unto the Lord. If you're getting a vaccine, do it in faith. If you've had the vaccine, say, thank God that vaccine will do nothing more than what it was created to do. It will not harm me in any way. And it's just like when you pray over your food. If you walked into most restaurants and walked into their kitchens, you probably wouldn't eat there. Hallelujah. So what do you think, Pastor Wes? I think you do whatever you can to protect yourself, but there's no greater protection than the Passover blood. And if God has you get a shot, get a shot. If he has you get two shots, get two shots. Here a shot, there a shot, everywhere a shot, shot. You know, just it seems like if one's good, three's got to be better. And I know, you know, there's the right. Listen, I'm not against getting shots. I'm just against putting my faith in them. Somebody told me the other day, I mean, I had some symptoms a long time ago when it first started. I got some symptoms, kind of knocked me for a loop a little bit. And Kristen works with a lady that lined me up with some natural products. I mean, it was just about five or six natural things you can buy over the counter. And I started taking those, and in one day, I was good. That was amazing. Just over-the-counter stuff. And I don't think that woman has a medical degree. But she understands things. You need vitamin D all the time. That's a good fight against this stuff. And the best fight against COVID is Jesus. And speaking his name into it, yelling it. I was so happy. Chris and I were talking about that. And she said, I listened to a movie, Bless God. And I've been walking to my house screaming at the enemy. I said, glory to God, me too. I think it probably wakes Ethan up every now and then. Character matters. And I'm going to give you a couple examples. And do you care if I go a little bit long today? How many people give me 5 minutes extra? Let me see your hand. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45. I've got about another hour here. Glory to God. Daniel chapter 6. Beginning in verse 1, it pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps, leaders, to rule throughout the kingdom, with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The leaders were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the leaders by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the leaders tried to find grounds for charges against corruption against Daniel and his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. You know, this is the part that just, of me, there's a part of me just cannot stay away from politics. But Donald Trump has to be one of the most squeaky clean guys that's ever been because he's had the full footprint of our law investigate him up and down in every area of his life for 5, 6, 7 years, and they can't find nothing wrong with him. One of these days, they're going to have to believe that God's on his side. You say, are you saying that, Pastor? Yes, I am. I'm going to say it again. God's on his side. He's on anybody's side that, bless God, will trust him. Amen. Doesn't mean he's perfect by any means. Finally, these men said, we will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of God. So the administrators and leaders went as a group to the king and said, O King Darius, live forever. The royal ministers, perfects, leaders, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or man during these next 30 days except you, O king, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, O king, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed. So the king Darius put the decree in writing. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows were open toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he had done before. The world system didn't alter his behavior one iota. Hallelujah. It's amazing sometimes how Christians, we just shut up because we don't want to offend anybody. I think if you offend them for Christ's sake, get after it. For truth's sake. And there's a way to do it, but I'm just saying, sometimes. I have grandkids. I don't want them wearing masks all the time. Because they've proven it's not all that healthy. Amen. They have. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying. My God. How horrible. We found this guy praying. We found him acknowledging a God other than you, O King Neb. Nebi for short. Or Darius in this case, I'm sure. I'm sorry. Then these men went as a group, found Daniel praying, asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. Did you publish a decree that during the next 30 days anyone is praised to any god or man except you, O king, would be thrown into the lion's den? The king answered, the decree stands in accordance with the laws of Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed. Then they said to the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays three times a day. How we could change the world if we would pray three times a day. When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. Then the men went as a group to the king and said, remember, O king, that according to the law of Medes and Persians, no decree or edict that the king's issues can be changed. So the king gave the order and they brought Daniel, threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. This king was pulling for Daniel. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Daniel refused to bow down, and he got thrown into a den of lions. We'll talk about that, how that story played out. But there were others that would not bow down as well when a decree came out from a king. Ever heard of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Before I go there, I want to talk about this. Used to be a man go to our church named Lawrence Reynolds. Lawrence was a black man. And I loved Lawrence because you never wondered what he was thinking because he'd always tell you. He never had to say, Lawrence, what are you thinking? I already knew. He told me. But he said, Pastor, when I first came and got that scripture, when I first got born again, he said, I used to read it. Shadrach, Meshach, and I thought about me and a bad Negro. And I thought that was hilarious. You know, nowadays, well, by my gosh, Pastor, you can't talk like that. I have three black son-in-laws. And only one of them is bad. He lives in Arizona. Tell Edward I didn't mean that, Lindsay. But here's three guys, and they're young guys, that when they went in and captured Jerusalem, they brought out some of the finest, best-looking, best-built young men in Jerusalem. These guys happen to be three of them. So, verse 10, out of Daniel 3, verses 10 through 18. You have issued a decree, O king, that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of God, and that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews You know, anti-Semitism has grown dramatically in the last 5-10 years. Even some Christians are beginning to hate the Jews again. You can't make this stuff up. People who profess the name of Christ are thinking it'd be okay if all the Jews died in Israel. I wouldn't want to answer to God if I were them. How about you? But there's some Jews whom you put over the Pharaohs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, O king. They're not letting the decrees of the world change them. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of God of gold you have set up. Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I have made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue from my hand?" Do you not consider that as a challenge sometimes in your own life? What's your God going to do about this? I'll tell you what he's going to do. In the name of Jesus Christ, he's going to bring you to your knees. You're going to bow to the name Jesus, pure and simple. You guys got more authority than you realize. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he doesn't, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. The system of this world, whether it's in this United States or any other country around the world, they are trying to, ungodly people in those governments are trying to shut down the church because the church still has a voice. It's no accident that one of the things that gets covered up in the attack that comes from COVID is the mouth. And we spend most of our time going through drive-thrus going, huh? People on the other side with the mask on trying to take your order. And then you tell them what, you just spent what? What? Do you get tired of listening that hard? These guys are pretty bold. How is it that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how is it that those people, those men, made the decision to not bow their knee to any other culture except God's? And that could be in any area of our life, brothers and sisters. Could it be that maybe they had determined that they're going to be all in? I believe that's it. Do you know what the name Daniel means? It means God is my judge. God's my judge. That's why even the Darius changed his name. So he changed his name to Belshazzar in Saudi, called the treasurer of Baal or the depository of secrets of Baal, which is a false god. They tried to rename them, but they could. You cannot, if it's in your heart, you've locked it in your heart. I'm telling you, the enemy cannot pull it out. When you make the decision to serve Jesus Christ, all hell cannot stop you from coming into the kingdom of God. All hell cannot. Matter of fact, the Bible says the enemy, the devil, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. If the church is rightly functioning, if we're rightly doing what God wants us to do, we're walking in his anointing, all hell cannot prevail against it. The gates of hell cannot thwart the move of God in the local church. That's why we need to be a part of the local church and we need to be it consistently. Amen? And then the Hebrew name for Shadrach was Shaniah, which means the Lord has been gracious to me, or he to whom the Lord is gracious. And they changed it to Shadrach, which means the inspiration of the Son. God, the author of evil, the propitious to us, or let God preserve us from evil. That's a messed up culture. Meshach, his Hebrew name was Mishael, and it signifies he who comes from God. That must have been in their hearts when they went into their new roles in a different culture. And now his name, Meshach, means he belongs to the goddess Shishak. It's one of the gods of the Babylonians. And then Azariah, Hebrew for Abednego, is the Lord is my helper. That's what. And they changed his name to Abednego, which means the servant of Nego, which also is one of their false god, by which they meant either the sun or morning star or worship Jupiter or Venus. I'm just saying this culture will do everything it can to try to mess you up. That's why if you get it in your heart, you don't give it up. This stuff will work for you forever. And if you agree with that, say amen. Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel 1, verse 1. I alluded to this just a moment ago, but Nebuchadnezzar, besieging of Jerusalem, led to his bringing back to Babylon some of the youngest fine men of Israel. And then on into verse 4 of Daniel 1, says, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, kind of a lot like your pastor. Just seeing if you're listening. Learning, well-informed, quick to understand and qualified to serve in the king's palace, he was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that they were to enter the king's service. Daniel, in verse 8, purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's food and drink. In other words, Daniel said, I am not going to compromise the little things. Brothers and sisters, I could challenge you over and over again, but I'm just telling you like this. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because they determined to walk with God and in no way would they renounce him for anyone or anything, or even in the face of death, they would not give up their conviction, their dedication, their devotion to God, even if it cost them their life. And we come into the kingdom of God, we're coming in. Greater love has this, no man than this, and that they lay down their heart for another. We lay down our lives for God. Your life is not your own. And the sooner we learn that, the better. Sometimes we spend a lifetime learning that, and we learn a little bit more about that every day, in and out. And I shared with you last year, listen, you can't change if it's in your heart and you've locked into it and you've guarded your heart, like it says in Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. These men would not even compromise in the small things. They did not eat the king's dainties or his drink. That was not healthy to them. Even the small things. The churches compromise a lot in a lot of areas. One of them is in perversion of sexuality. One of the most scathing letters I've ever gotten in 40 some years of ministry was from someone that grew up in this church. And they were mad because I said something like, same-sex relationships, marriages, violates the Word of God. There is no place in the Bible, in God's Word, that alludes to a person marrying a person of the same sex. And that makes that relationship be blessed of God. And we just kind of wink at it. Remember the scripture I read in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and I started reading about, gosh, there's a man that's sleeping with his dad's wife, his stepmom. And they're not even calling him out on it. How many of you, in just your mind, that would be kind of wrong? Just saying. But we pick and choose. Listen, we got to pick and choose what God says is wrong. Did you know what you believe with all your heart is what you will experience, whether good or bad? Well, Pastor, we don't want to offend people. You're right. We don't want to offend people. But if you're a person that's caught up in sin and you come to our church, I want to love you so much that you're convicted of your sin. I don't want you to be condemned by them, but I do want you to be convicted by them. I want you to feel uncomfortable in your sin because Jesus died for your sin so that you wouldn't have to feel uncomfortable in His presence. And yet we would choose for whatever reason to do that. This is my deal. If God deals with you about giving something up, then give it up. I just think this way. If you don't bow to the world system, you're not going to get burnt by it. But if you bow to it, you could get burnt by it. The Bible says these three guys came up out of that furnace, that fiery furnace. They didn't even smell like smoke. Their hair wasn't even singed. They went walking with Jesus. Nebuchadnezzar said, didn't we throw three guys into the furnace? And that furnace fire was so hot that when they opened the door to it, that the furnace blast killed the soldiers that were throwing the Hebrews into the fiery furnace. That's because they weren't made of the right stuff. You heard about the cannibal that ate a Christian and then threw him up? It's kind of hard to keep a good man down in the end. The enemy has planted into the church a deceptive spirit that just more or less embraces sexual immorality. I will just say this. We will never have a bathroom for the guys that try to decide or determine whether or not they're a girl that day. You say, well, if you do something like that, you're going to have to give up your nonprofit rights. I give them up. I don't care if we have a tax deduction, and the only reason they want to tax us anyhow so they can tax our property. They just see it as another asset that they can tax so that they have more money in their coffers to pervert the world. How many of you know we need good godly leadership? Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you still like me? How many of you are looking forward to November 21st? If you don't bow, you won't burn. Amen. And then I'll, just a couple, few more minutes. I say a few more minutes, and I don't want to take liberty with you, but talk a little bit about Daniel, because he got thrown into the lion's den, and Darius said, Daniel, hope your God helps you. Because Darius really didn't want him to die. And so at the first light of dawn, in verse 19 of Daniel 6, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve continually, has he been able to rescue you from the lion's den? Daniel answered. That means that Daniel wasn't the lion's meal that night. Daniel answered, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done anything wrong before you, O king. Daniel did the small things. There's things, and listen, I want to challenge you. There's things that some of us are opening ourselves up to that we're not resisting. And we keep determining that, well, we just believe the grace of God. But why not just lay it down at the altar and go on with God and let your life just really grow? Because if you lay it at the altar, at the foot of the cross, the empowerment of that cross will be yours. And you will be resurrected out of that thing that's had you bound for years. Amen. Don't listen to what your flesh says. The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no one was found on him because he had, no wound was found on him because he had trusted his God. God will protect you. At the king's command, the men who falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den along with their wives and children. Don't you know the wives and children were saying, thanks a lot, Dad. How important it is for dads to follow God. Amen. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and men of every language throughout the land, may you prosper greatly. I issue a decree in every part of my kingdom. People must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. And I'm telling you, there's going to come a decree in our country before long where we serve the God of the living. We serve the God who calls himself Jesus. We serve the King of kings and Lord of lords. That's coming, bless God. God's not done with this country. Verse 26, I issue a decree that every part of my kingdom people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and he endures forever. The kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues, he saves, he performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lion. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Now let me ask you a probing question. Are you passing the small test? Whatever they may be. Small tests like, am I walking in forgiveness? Am I refusing to become bitter about things? And I'm not, listen, I think probably God's okay with us hanging out with sinners in the world, but what he's not okay with is we acclimating to their lifestyle. It's Christians that probably we have more of a warning about. Christians who continue to walk in something that they know they shouldn't be walking. The Bible says maybe not hang around with them for a while. Because even though you may not be doing it, people think they will think that because you're with them that you may be doing the same thing. Just a thought. But I think it's a good thought. And so to me that says, have you surrendered your whole life? And that's between you and God. I'm not your judge, but I'm telling you, the more you surrender to God, the better off you are. Why we choose as God's people sometimes to keep on doing stuff that hurts us, I don't know. That's got to be somewhat of a deceptive spirit, if you will. I don't go around looking to cast out devils all the time, but I know that those enemies, the spirits of darkness can come and help you not give in to God's leading, but just keep on doing those small things that corrupt and defile you. And God doesn't want that for us. That's why the Bible says a little leaven. Even in the church world. You know, in the early church, back in the early move of God, the Spirit of God was so present that if you had sin in your life, without anybody saying anything, a lot of times people would just fall on their knees and begin to cry out to God and ask Him to forgive them. Those were believers. And one old timer said, you know, back in our day, you could come, if you were in the ministry and you came into ministry and you were walking a life of defilement, God would call you out. Maybe that's why a lot of people don't come to church. Ananias and Sapphira, pretty good examples of two people. And what they did is they just lied to the Holy Spirit. They sold some property and they conspired together and said, let's just tell them we sold it for this much and keep back some. And it cost them both their lives. Wouldn't it have been easier to say, listen, we sold it for this amount, how about we just give half? And then when you get to the place and Peter says, what did you sell the property? Yeah, we sold it for half, or sold it for this, and we're keeping half and we're giving another half to the church. God could work with that. But God does not give in to lying in his presence. So, hallelujah. Just about said hallelujah. Kind of a tough, messy sometimes, but I think sometimes we need to kind of have a gut check in our walk with God, don't you? Because out in the world, boy, they need a breath of fresh air, and you could very well be it. You really could. And even Christians that are walking, they're just walking, they're full of bitterness, they're full of anger. You know that's not healthy. It's just not healthy. Another thing that's not healthy is just always feeling sorry for yourself. Just doesn't work. Stand with me. Everybody say, thank God, pastor is done. I'm done until next time. You need to know. You really need to know that God wants you to help, wants to help you step up your game in your walk with him. Amen. But just giving you a moment, I'm not going to go through all that and then just not give us a moment, but giving you a moment. If there's something in your life that just seems like it just keeps showing up, creeping back in your life, and a small thing that's almost become a big thing because you've given in to it so much. But there's nothing that you're dealing with that's not already been put under the blood of Jesus Christ. All God is wanting is a willing participant to trust him to just set you free. Amen. So just kind of bow your head, kind of search your heart. You got any bitterness or angerness toward stuff that's just got, you've been giving more attention to that than you have your focus on God. That means it's become an ungodly distraction. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I confess that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for helping me. Thank you, Lord, for helping my brothers and sisters. Thank you for life and life everlasting. And I thank you, Father God, if we choose to not bow our knees in the small things, that we will be raised up into the great things of God Almighty and walk this life victoriously in him. And we thank you for it. We give you praise, we give you honor in Jesus' name. And all agree to that said. Amen and amen. Well, tell somebody you like them on the way out. You are dismissed. God bless you. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.